Hey, everybody, this is Hal from the Nation of Conversation. Do you enjoy this podcast? If not, why are you still listening? I'm sure you do. If you're still with me, then you're complicit in this. And you want to help us out, I'm going to tell you how to do that. It's the easiest thing in the world. You head over to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star rating. But even more than that, you go the extra yard and you give us a review. You let people know what you love about the show so that they get hooked in before they even put in their earbuds and press play. You can be like Tom Tastic Mastic, which is a real name, who said, give it a listen. Like it, love it, 5-star it. You know what? Tom Tastic Mastic said exactly what I said and did it even quicker. Do you think you could do that in a review? I dare you. I dare you. And then when we get enough of you who have completed my dare, I'll turn into a demon like in that movie, and we'll have merch. And that's how it works. Thank you. And enjoy the show.
Tides and Bites Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and there's guy.
About wrestling. Julian said Mick Foley, and I went deep because that's what I do.
Wow, deep cuts. Deep cut how?
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the man who wants you to get this cast. How lovely. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the new Whig order, Danielle Radford.
What up?
Oh, that's good.
I like that one.
Good one.
New Whig order.
Wow.
Lace front.
Also joined by the Fresh Prince of On Air.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
Great call.
And man, Julian just being in the studio is making everything better.
Yeah, right? So much more time to devote to these names. It's been, you're on a roll, buddy. And real quick, just before I introduce our special fourth person in the booth today, what are you benching right now? Because you're looking,
Let me get a look over
yoked.
Here.
He looks mega yoked.
He's yoked.
The Spider-Man shirt makes me flex a little bit.
I'm looking at that strong vein popping out of that bicep. That's not Spidey, bud. That's you.
Good Lord. He's the desk doesn't have any legs. He just holds it up with one hand.
Yeah, unless you actually got bit by a spider.
Yeah.
I was bitten by a radioactive weightlifter.
Man. Yeah, that's all upper body day.
Is that what they call steroids now?
Hey, congratulations on breaking the one single season home run record. Our special guest today is Sonny D. The D stands for doesn't need any other nickname. Brian Fernandez, welcome, Brian.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
None of those start with a D. Where do we get D from?
Sonny, well, it's Sonny Disposition. I'm just like a happy guy.
I got it. Okay.
You are like a smiley, default smiler.
Smiley. I am a default smiler.
Which I like.
That's a problem.
No, it's not a problem. No, you know what? That's
people
a gift.
People take it for weakness, and they attack me.
And that's when you strike.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
We'll destroy them with a smile on your face.
We'll beat the hell out of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, ready. Yeah, yeah. I'm ready to go down.
Yeah, we'll kill
him.
Hit him with a smooth run-in. Also, I would love to mention that out of all of us, Brian is the only one who has notes.
Well, I'm overcompensating.
You have a full.
I love it. I think it's great.
I want to give a little background on Brian,
yes,
if I may.
Yes, please.
If I may. For those of you who don't know, Brian has done a bunch of stuff for Max Fun, including producing Jordan, Jesse Go.
Hey,
Ryan and Lindsay will totally eat that.
Yeah,
do we remember?
No,
because they
does.
Ate a lot
I
of stuff.
Did.
I remember. I remember.
I ate myself into a coma. I barely remember.
I think that was rolling out when we got this first joined the network.
Oh, yeah.
Like 3 years ago.
Yeah, we might have been doing like the drive that year together.
But more important than anything. Than anything you've ever done in your life.
No, this is at the top of the list.
In a life full of accomplishments, the top of that list. It's designing the Tights and Fights logo that you see every time you download.
Oh,
yeah. It's the highlight of my week when I see it pop up on my phone and I'm like, oh, I got to do that. That's fun. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your relationship with wrestling.
I was a watch WCW tape Raw and then watch Raw Tuesday morning kind of guy. And like I would, and then I would, and then after school I would watch WCW again. I'd watch Nitro again. You know, just to get back into it.
Sure.
My brother and I were so hardcore into it. I would post, like, in the early days of, like, wrestling message boards, like, lordsofpain.net.
Oh, I'm Lords of Pain. I'm into Lords of Pain.
That was, like, my jam back in the day. I remember there was a point where my mom wanted us to stop watching wrestling.
Fair.
And I was like, I can't imagine a life without pro wrestling. Like, it was so important to me. And then I went to high school, and it totally went away.
Right.
And I just, like, got busy with other stuff, and I totally checked out. And I was just telling these guys...
you hit adolescence.
Yeah, you know, things. I got a job and just didn't have time to watch those tapes anymore.
Yeah.
And I checked out for like 20 years. I literally checked back in for the first time this week. Like, I was like, I'm ready. I'm back. I'm ready. Let's do this.
I'm so excited.
There's so many people I don't know that I was catching up on, that I was like going back and like feuds and stuff that I didn't know about. It's been kind of amazing. I'm a super Mark right now.
I'm so
Brian.
I am intensely jealous.
I know.
Of this wide-eyed energy.
Yeah.
He's not a cynic anymore.
No. Yeah.
Or he never became one in the first place.
You know what? Here's what's going to happen. He's going to get hooked. We're going to have him on in a year, and he's going to be like, why did I watch Backlash?
Don't worry. Because the light will go out of those eyes, I promise.
I know.
I promise you.
Well, I listened to a couple episodes getting ready for the show, and I was like, oh, no, is it bad now? And then I watched this week and I was like, oh no, maybe I'm gonna come in and be like I was preparing myself for being too wide-eyed and too
I'm usually the one, so I'm happy now. Okay. I feel like I've got someone on my tag team.
All right, we got baby faces and heels.
Yeah,
we have a good tag team over there. And me and Howard Demolition.
Yeah. Just, I know. You guys are gonna,
here comes a Mike. Here comes a Howard. Well, there's actually quite a bit of news before Raw even got started. Let's take a look at what's being called the largest indie wrestling show ever. Cody Rhodes and Bullet Club's All In has sold out the Sears Center in Chicago. How big of a deal is it for an indie show? I almost feel like there should be quotes around the indie part. To sell out a giant building like this. Is this something that could be repeated by anybody else on the indie scene?
No.
I don't think Japan. Japan's not indie.
Japan's not indie, first of all. You call them whoever you want. Bullet Club, Elite, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. The thing about them, and one of the things that makes them super special, is not only how over they are, but the fact that they are over in so many different promotions, and the fact that the storylines in being the Elite and within the Bullet Club, they're not just in one promotion. They are in several. I was going to say this is like Infinity War, but no, because bigger stars. So this is like Crisis on Earth X, which was like the DC thing that they did on the
CW. Deep cut.
It's, you know, there's a DC thing they did on the CW where like all of the heroes got together. It was on the C-dubs. There was a wedding. There were Nazis. It was great. But like, that's what it feels like to me, where it's like, well, you know, you take a bunch of people from that are over in several promotions and you put them together. Of course, you're going to have something that's really special and great.
Me, I think it's great. I hope they do well. I hope the people who show up have a good show and nobody gets hurt. But I just am personally, I'm more interested to see what happens out of it. Because to me, if it's patchwork like this, where does it carry over? If it's 900 different promotions, get the Cody and Bullet Club / Elite stuff is going to follow them everywhere, because that's like an international storyline.
I think what happens is it bumps up the profile of everyone else while everyone is talking about the hype.
Hopefully.
How long that lasts and how well some of these other promotions are able to capitalize on it is something different.
Is this the kind of thing where it leads to further, like, super indie shows, where this turns into something that can rival WWE as something that, like, you know, turning all of the indie promotions into a Megazord or whatever against, the superpower of the wrestling.
Well, so. I think that anyone would say that saying anything can take over WWE is a whatever, but I think that something cool that could come of this is when you have something that is already huge here, like a PWG, where they're turning away people right and left, if they decided, hey, we're going to promote, you know, a huge show at Staples a year in advance, and we're going to get everyone in that we can, and everyone is guaranteed to get a seat. And all of the people who now know that PWG is a thing that you want to see because it's a way to see people before they become big, maybe that means they have more of a chance. Or at least, like, maybe not even like Staples, but just like not a rec center. Like, not
sure, not the VFW.
Not a VFW, yeah. To be more specific.
Yeah. You know, the point that I want to make sure isn't missed is what this underscores, and it's something that I read somewhere, but it's very true, is that aside from any other wrestling organization, Bullet Club is actually the second biggest wrestling thing in the world. Like, it's bigger than TNA. It's bigger than any other, you know, indie fed that you can think of. Bullet Club itself, between how, you know, between its presence in Ring of Honor, its presence in New Japan, its presence in Hot Topic, like, it is the second biggest wrestling brand.
I'm intensely interested from a business perspective in the fallout from it. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of great matches that I will catch after.
Well, you're also like a marketing guy.
It's not a can't miss. It's not a can't miss for me, but also I don't have the background in it. So if you're planning on watching it, I hope you enjoy it. let's go over to WWE. When Nia Jax met up with Ronda Rousey on a New York red carpet, she issued a championship challenge to Raw's crossover star. Ronda is supposed to be hated by WWE management in storyline, so does her already getting a title match make sense? Danielle, are your writer senses tingling?
I don't like it. It's not my favorite. But let's be clear, Deborah Messing also challenged for the title while she was on that red carpet.
Oh, so it's a triple threat.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's Nia versus Ronda versus Grace. So we'll see happens, I guess. I don't know. It's too soon for Ronda. Like, I as I've said before, I don't think that she's ready. I want her to do more things with management before she starts getting into title stuff.
I think what my instincts say is that this is setting Ronda up to have somebody cost her this opportunity, which is where the real feud would be, because Nia doesn't seem to be the kind of level of experience that of a kind of a dance partner Ronda needs to work with. Also felt like they did the challenge this way, this kind of this visual presentation of it, to get Ronda promos out of the ring is why that seemed to serve a good function, because it seemed like they had chances to, like, tape that and retake it and retake it and retake it.
Not a bad idea.
It wasn't a bad idea at all. And I actually thought it played pretty well. I thought all of the acting performances in it were pretty damn believable.
Brian, what, you're new to all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you sit on that? How did this sit with you? Where, did you connect with it?
It was.
I found vodka. Sorry. I really said it.
Wow. Sorry, everybody. Aunt Danielle will be right back.
Yep.
Wow. Live drinking on the show.
I thought it was pretty awkward, actually. Like, the red carpet of it all, I understand what you're saying about them being, you know, getting a chance to take it and retake it. But even as the final product, I was like, this is clearly something that they, like, had to put a lot of sweat into.
What that should tell you is how much worse it usually is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Felt like, well, we got to push. This is a thing we got to do because we got to get Rousey in the mix here. So give her a title.
People were saying, like, where is she? How come she's not on TV? They have to work her in at some point and have her regular on the show. If she's going to be full time, you can't play. And I think, I don't know if she was doing a movie or what. What the deal is.
Well, she's actually on a mod team. So I'm sorry, I keep hitting these, like, really deep cut improv.
That one took me a second.
Oh my God.
I haven't even taken any of those classes. I'm dumb.
Let's get to who started Raw. Roman Reigns. He's involved in two feuds right now. One is against Jinder Mahal and one against WWE management. What do you do with him at this point? What do you do with Roman Reigns? Well, there's a Roman Reigns problem, Brian. I don't know if you're
here's
aware.
Here's a question. That's the only thing I knew. I knew that people hated Roman Reigns.
And it's
getting to the point where people don't care anymore. It's one thing to hate.
Yes.
It's another thing to not care. And I wondered, has there been a really good Roman Reigns heel turn? Has he...
from the mouths of babes.
They never let him turn heel. So I wondered if this was the start of that. I didn't know if with him sort of butting up against Kurt Angle like that, I wondered if this was the start of a big heel turn. I don't know. If they're finally coming to their senses and figuring this out.
We've had the hope for that beaten out of us.
Okay. See, this is one of those where
Because what they do have him do, because he is a babyface, and in this case he's a babyface because Jinder Mahal is a heel.
Yeah.
But he's a babyface that behaves like a dick.
Yeah.
You know, so it's impossible to root for him.
And it's not his fault. He's a really hard worker.
He is.
Yeah. There were obviously hiccups when he first started going solo and trying to cut these promos that were clearly for The Rock and not him.
Yeah, they were bad.
Just crossed out The Rock's name and
they literally
Roman
did.
Reigns
they just like control F.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Find replace.
Yeah.
And so it's not his fault. Like at this point, I think most people understand that he's a hard worker and that he does deserve to have a spot at the top of the card. But the idea is that he needs a fresh start, and that is what turning heel would give him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It feels like it's all there, right? Like, the people hating him, it's all that. Like, he can turn on them instantly, right? Like, he can already, just go after them if they're already responding to him in a negative way.
The last babyface to get over and, win the belt as a babyface and stay that way and not have had the heel turn catapult him there was, fucking Bret Hart or something. I mean, that has not worked in 20 years. I don't know why they seem so hell-bent on not turning Roman now, but it is slowly killing all of us.
Yeah, it seems so. They're being so precious with him.
He would get recklessly bad.
Yeah. Like, it's not even just precious. It's like they make really strong, weird decisions with him.
Yeah,
all the time.
Keep saying, well, he's already a heel. But, no. That's not how it works.
Lean into it. Yeah, we got to lean into it.
Kevin Owens had a pretty big night. Started when he took on Seth Rollins for the IC title and lost. It's still a great match and retention for Rollins, who has turned the IC title into the only title on Raw that matters.
Yeah.
It's certainly the most important of all of the titles. I would rank it IC title, women's title, tag titles, the title to the rental cars that they all drive.
Wow.
A titleist golf ball.
How about Jay-Z's title?
Jay-Z's title.
Yeah.
That was the first place you could see Lemonade after HBO, so it's clearly
it's worth
important.
The gold. Oh,
Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Tenacious Z, and then the Universal title.
Dang. Wow.
That would probably be the order of importance of the titles.
Who are the tag titles right? I don't even know who has them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Three.
The leader of worlds.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Our Woken friends.
Oh.
Woke bros.
Oh, that was tough.
Look, new kid doesn't like it. New kid doesn't like it. New kid thinks it's rough.
I want to hear that.
Hold
take.
On.
I want
it's
to hear
rough
that.
Right now.
I'm about to
it
tear
used
this.
To be...
I'm going to tear this script in half.
It used to be
tell
good.
Me more. I'm not, and just... I didn't. I, we have not. Did we talk about this at all before?
No,
we started?
No, zero.
This is natural.
Zero.
I just want to hear. I'm curious.
I'm just going to take it. Mama's going to have a nip of her vodka.
You better finish that. That should be a
oh
full
chug.
Oh
my God! Chug. No.
I was ready to like these guys actually because I like the idea. Of the Bray Wyatt's thing, and I loved the Hardy Boys back in the day. Mm-hmm. I was ready to love these guys, and then I actually saw them in action, and it was just really hard to watch. It felt like a forced team.
So you've been away for a while.
Yeah.
How much do you know about what Matt Hardy's doing right now with the Woken Broken character?
Very little.
Interesting.
Very little.
Okay.
All I know is what I watched on Raw.
So
much.
Just that, and you hadn't basically seen him since. Attitude Era, basically.
No, since TLC era.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Since Tables, Ladders, and their feud with Edge and Christian. Like, literally back in. And those were my guys. Like, I love those guys.
So, what
I
do you make of what do you make all this, the gesticulation and his music and any of that? Now?
It's all upsetting. It's all upsetting to me.
Wow.
I heard you going on about the JNCOs.
Me and Jeff and them JNCOs, we gotta have a word.
I was I think I'm gonna still like him. I think I'm still gonna like these guys. I got excited when they come into the ring, and then I was cringing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard for me.
Do you enjoy B movies?
No, not, I don't think so. Not as much as other people.
You don't like things that are so bad they're good?
Yeah, no.
I have a homework assignment for you. If it's okay. If
you're, yeah.
This is your mission, should you choose to accept it.
All right.
I would like you to catch up on the next couple weeks. Let's say the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
Catch up on like Bray Wyatt. Like just sort of do a tour. You can go online and find probably some playlists and stuff that sort of highlight who he is.
Yeah.
So you can see his rise, fall, rise sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But also sort of track Matt Hardy in TNA. Watch, what was it called? The Final Deletion. Final Deletion.
Okay.
Tag Team Apocalypto.
Tag Team Apocalypto.
The first one was the Final
There you
deletion.
Go. The pen's coming
I'm
out.
I'm writing this
going
down.
In the notebook.
I'm writing it down.
But and then we'll have you back.
Okay.
I'm doing pretty. I'm just
noticing. If nothing else, we can have him come in for 5 minutes and check in.
Yeah.
I would like to check in a quick
Hardy.
Remember
update.
That homework we gave you?
Yeah. Because we've marked your feelings now. I'm curious to see if they change.
He's going to come back with a stripe of gray hair.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's going to be speaking very differently.
He's eating green beans.
See him next,
wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
This
whatever.
Is great.
Going to have some strange baby we don't recognize.
Because I'm really not, I'm not sure what you're even, I'm not even sure how I'm supposed to feel about it all. So I'm excited. This is all, this will all be new.
I'm not even going to say anything more about it.
I got my homework?
So
okay.
That is your homework.
Got it.
Let's talk quickly about some Money in the Bank qualifiers. Roman attacked Jinder backstage, which means that Kevin Owens took Jinder Mahal's place. We were talking about him having a big night. And he won a triple threat to qualify for Money in the Bank. I think this is his first Money in the Bank. I don't think he was in it last year. The other people who earned their way into their Money in the Bank ladder match are Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. I think it's going to be nice. I'm looking forward to the women's
match. No, I'm looking
match.
Forward to it. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be, as with everything, as soon as you give the women the ball, they immediately try to make it better than the men, and they succeed. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really, I don't know.
I will say real quick, the women's division, when I was watching,
It was a peep show.
Yeah. It was bikini matches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
And, I loved every women's match. Like, and that move, that Meteora move, that was unbelievable. I rewound and watched it 3 times because it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am all in on that.
So far, all of your opinions seem correct to me. Let's talk about tag teams. Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, the newly christened B team, picked up their first win over Breezango with an elevated neck breaker. Is this what's going to make the tag seem better? Is taking a team that used to be over and have them put over a team that needs to get over.
As much as I would love for a team of Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas to be what leads us into the new Gilded Age of tag teams, I'm going to go ahead and say it's not going to do that. I would love it to. That's not me saying that I wouldn't want it to. I just know history.
I don't know these guys as losers. I presume they are. It felt like they're losers. Everyone was like, these guys are losers, right? And isn't it weird that they won? But I kind of love that. I love that it's losers who keep inexplicably winning. And like, if they have that run, it would be fun for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I would love
wrong?
That too. I absolutely agree. Like, if they suddenly became like these Bad News Bears losing tag team that like suddenly becomes something, I would love that. Give me an underdog, please. I will root for them.
I think Vince McMahon is far too cynical to
yeah.
do that.
I think
he'll shit on him. This is his earliest opportunity.
When God is damn. He leaving for whatever?
When is he dying? I don't know. Not soon
no,
enough.
No, because he's got his other thing.
XFL.
Or or the
World
the
Bodybuilding Federation that folded.
He's in the senior division of the bodybuilding. Yeah.
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 He's just
a sexual harassment
chains.
Trial.
Anything?
Oh, he's going to be a cabinet member in the Trump administration.
Now, Brian.
Well, his wife.
Brian, no, do you know
his wife?
Sorry, third rail.
Do you know the Bo Dallas family
no,
connections in wrestling?
You know all no,
that?
No.
So Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt are real life brothers.
Got it. Okay.
And their father is Irwin R. Scheister, if you remember him.
Oh wow. Okay.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Do you remember
very
IRS?
Vaguely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's their dad.
Okay.
There you go.
I used to watch WCW too, so he was on there as Mike Rotundo and VK Wall Street.
Yeah. Oh, Rotundo.
Yeah.
Rotundo is actually their last name.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
It seems like
Wyndham
it would
Rotundo.
But
Wyndham
Rotundo
is
made
Rotundo.
Up.
Yeah.
It seems.
Wyndham is Bray.
Yeah,
Wyndham Rotunda.
Oh, he's oh,
and I his, forget Bo's.
Yeah, it seems like a way to make fun of someone's weight, but no,
it
that's
does.
Like their last
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's move on to SmackDown, where Daniel Bryan, he seems like the kid who, whenever you see them, like, clearly the kid's been playing outside because the kid has a scrape somewhere. It's either, like, giant red chest, scrape on nose. He's going to come in some time. Shiner. Mm-hmm. Just get messed up. But then he takes Big Cass to the woodshed, puts him in a grapevine, heel hooks him, has him tapping within 5 seconds. Who does this help? I know that it's great. It's a rub for Cass to be in the ring with Daniel Bryan. But it doesn't really make Cass look... He's the 7-foot guy who's just going to get his ass kicked by someone who is 5'9". Mm-hmm. And then Daniel Bryan is the guy you would expect to beat anybody. So it doesn't make him... doesn't really help him.
I think that him beating up a 7-foot guy, considering how much of his story has always been you to whittle, I think it helps him.
I think it helps him too.
Yeah, I think it helps him.
But you know, there was that other angle with Cass, and this is supposed to be punishment. Do y'all know that? Y'all know that stuff, yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Which?
Let's go over it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Brian, here, you're about to go to school again.
Okay.
This will take you back to your Lords of Pain days.
Oh, good.
So I read on the wrestling internet that... apparently, the segment with the little person ring.
That was last week, I think.
He had asked, could he beat the hell out of the little person? And they told him, no, just do the boot.
Which is enough.
It was quite enough.
It's really enough. I mean, that whole segment.
And he was told no, and then he kept asking to the point where he actually went to Vince and asked him and was still told no. And then he went out there and did it anyway. So he did the boot, and then he mounted him with the punches, all the things that they told him not to do. So apparently part of what happened this week was a little bit of a knocking him down a peg type thing.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah. Don't do that.
All right.
Don't do things your boss tells you not do.
Yeah.
Only do things your boss tells you do.
The moonwalking, trash-talking,
yay!
SmackDown Women's Champion Carmella had her long-awaited Mellabration. How much did you guys enjoy her event that included this introduction?
Your esteemed SmackDown champion of all women! May God ignore the queen! And may God save Carmella!
God, that was so good. This is the thing I've been talking about when I've been saying, like, give Carmella, like, give her some rain, let her do some stuff, because she is incredibly creative. And I'm not saying she came up with everything, we don't know. But I do know that, like, heel Carmella right now with the title is one of my favorite heels.
Brian, what did you think of this?
I loved it. I love a good smarmy heel, just smarmy. gloating in their win. Like,
yeah.
Great. I loved it.
She's so funny. And
it was hilarious.
And you haven't watched her wrestle yet?
No, I've never seen her wrestle.
Oh, she screeches so at a perfect pitch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, just the cheer for me. That, like, I'm going to let you guys cheer for me was incredible. Yeah. It's just perfect.
She's great
heel.
Andrade Cien Almas debuted along with Zelina Vega. In case anybody thought they were not going to be together. He trashed an enhancement talent, and then she gets on the mic and does her thing. What are your hopes for that pairing?
Don't
What's the
fuck
ceiling?
It up.
What's the ceiling, realistically?
For me, all I want is, I think that there is no ceiling. I think they can go as high as they want. All I want is for them to not Lana it where it suddenly becomes more about their, like, relationship and whether or not they're boning than about the fact that she is a kick-ass manager. Because, like, you can be in a relationship with someone and be their manager and be like, yeah, it's cool, we fuck. But most importantly is all of this other stuff and my managerial duties. As long as they keep her who she is, that's all I care about. Just, like, don't suddenly do that thing where, like, all of a sudden she's got, like, the pretty soft focus curls in her hair she's got, like, you know, and she's dancing to the ring and she, not to, you know, Lana, that dancing has always been her thing off of here, but, like, keep that energy. Like, don't suddenly make her, like, this person who's, like, you know, he'll beat you up and also he's my boyfriend. Like,
And no one else can have me.
and no one else can have me.
Does she ever wrestle also, or is she only manager? Oh, okay.
Sorry, I got too excited.
I didn't know. Yeah, that's great.
Finally, on SmackDown, in their fourth match in WWE, Shinsuke Nakamura beat AJ Styles and will set the stipulation for their championship encounter at Money in the Bank. I can only assume that nut punching will be involved. This was the best match they've had. Is it the match that you've been waiting for?
I'm raising my hand.
Mike, yes.
They had another match last night?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, because...
Oh, here's my feeling on this. Seriously. Because I all I knew going in was that people were so furious that that Backlash match had a bad ending. Okay. I didn't even know what the ending was.
No ending.
They had no ending, right? They both gave up, I guess, or something.
It was a
double nut punch.
They kicked each other in the penis really
double
hard,
nut punch,
and they both
so they,
fell over
yeah.
and couldn't get up in time.
So I knew that, and I thought, oh, they realized they messed up and wanted to give an ending. All knowing only that the nut punch thing was the ending of that match, I thought the way they ended this one, this is me, this is my non-cynical thing coming through, because
I hadn't
been so upset by the previous ones. I thought the ending was fantastic, like the fake out nut punch. And I thought that was awesome.
Here's a question, too. One more, one, and we can move on. Why has nobody suggested for either one of the men to wear an athletic supporter?
Or a truss?
Something.
Some system.
Dance belt?
That's a great question.
Chastity belt? Something.
Do you think they're going to turn this next stipulation into some sort of, like, who can take the most nut punches?
Johnny
Knoxville is the ref. It's an Action Park tie-in.
Yeah.
Not
oh,
Action
God.
Park, whatever
yeah,
they're calling act, it.
Yeah.
Because Action Park is the real park in Jersey.
Yeah, it's
where
a real park
died.
That people that killed people.
Yeah. There are a lot of good questions.
Okay, I just wanted to put them out there.
I think they're all good questions. I wish that there was an answer to them.
I wish that there was
an answer. But I think the answer is better that they wrestle than talk.
Yeah, I just wish, I do wish there was an answer.
Better wrestling than talking.
Yeah, for
no,
sure.
Because Shinsuke's doing great talking.
He is. Shinsuke's doing great talking.
Shinsuke is doing fantastic talking.
I'd rather have AJ in the ring than talking right now. Him as a heel, he can talk all he wants.
Can we have like some kind of nut surrogate so that they can wrestle matches? And then if we need people to get hit in the nuts, we can just like run like America's Funniest Home Videos like in the corner. Yeah. Like picture in picture. I was like, look, if you need someone,
nut shots.
Here's some wrestling.
I thought for a moment there you were asking if they could have nut surrogates for their promos. So I had this picture in my head of like two scrotums talking to each other.
Oh, that's great.
In a ring. It was very scary.
The trick is you get the gobbledygooker out because he's got regular nuts and then those nuts hanging off under his beak.
He does. He's got chin nuts.
Double nuts. Yeah.
Double nuts.
Oh, and then you can have Mr. Peanut come out.
Mr.
Like
Peanut shows up.
Oh, wow. This is great.
A squirrel. That thing from Ice Age that keeps chasing the nut.
I want a nut. Or whatever.
If you've got any thoughts on everything we've talked about so far, can't wait to read those. Let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram, #NutsOfWrestling. When we come back, we're taking a closer look. The legendary music of one hardcore legend. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Alea Gringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on Butt Legs. We're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
Thank you so much to the over 28,000 members who joined or upgraded during the 2018 Max Fun Drive and to all of our monthly members. You showed up in full force to help us reach our goal, and to show our appreciation, we're putting up this year's batch of Max Fun Drive exclusive enamel pins on sale for all $10 and up monthly members. And just like last year, we're giving all the profits to charity. For 2018, we're supporting the National Immigration Law Center. The sale will run from May 18 through May 28, so don't miss it. $10 and up monthly members will be receiving a personalized code and instructions to purchase pins on May 17. So keep your inbox open and notifications on. For more details, head over to MaximumFun.org/pins. And to learn more about the National Immigration Law Center and support them directly, you can go to NILC.org.
Back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined in the booth by...
Oh, who are you
Proud
joined by
Father
first?
Oh,
we did it the wrong order.
Yeah, you did it in the wrong order.
Right, you shocked the world. We're going to do it right. Don't worry. I'm joined in the booth by...
Danielle Radford.
And
Michael Eagle.
And...
Brian Fernandez, Sunny D.
Correct.
Sunny D.
Fuck you, purple stuff. One of the most important things for a wrestler is their entrance music. We like to take a look at certain wrestlers who have changed it for almost every phase of their career in a segment we call Ringtones.
One cell. Is this on?
This week, we're taking a look at the hardcore legend himself, Mick Foley. Now, Brian, you are a big Mick Foley fan. Tell us about that.
Huge Mick Foley fan. So much of a Mick Foley fan that I went and saw him at the Ice House in Pasadena a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
He was doing the 20 Years of Hell tour that he's been doing where he talks about the Hell in a Cell night.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like, I it kind of brought me back into, like, what I loved about him and about wrestling back in the day. Like, how he would, and then actually today I kind of went down a like, Mick Foley old promo, like, rabbit hole.
Sure.
And watched all his old ECW promos. That, like, Kane Dewey and the Uncle Willie, like, all those promos, like, And then contrasting it with what I saw today, like with the in SmackDown and Raw, like the emotion and connection that he like put into those promos is just unbelievable. Like I think they still hold up today. Like
they do.
Watching them is unreal. Like it's crazy how good he was. Is.
So let's focus on because the majority of his new theme musics came when he was in WWF, now WWE. So let's start there.
Yeah.
We'll go backwards as we go forwards. For those of you who are not as familiar with Mr. Foley's music, it will all make sense in just a couple moments.
It's evolution, baby.
That's right.
I have a couple fun stories that he told from that night that I can as we'll go through.
Oh, you want to pepper them in?
We can pepper them in.
Let's pepper them in. Just a little sprinkling.
A little salt bay.
You did the research.
All right. So when he started as Mankind, he was the tortured former piano prodigy child turned twisted and evil. So he actually had two pieces of music. This was his entrance music. It was meant to show that he was a scary, unstable person.
So when he first got into the WWF, Vince did not want to bring him on, basically. He basically said Jim Ross was stumping for him so hardcore because of his ECW days, like how good he was there. But Vince didn't like his look. And so finally, after all these, probably years of JR stumping for him, all right, damn it, but I'm covering up his face. And so that's why he gave him that mask, and then he's like, he made me dress in all brown, and then gave me this entrance music that could not be less exciting.
Yeah,
he's like, not a stitch of pyrotechnic. His line in the show is like, even Gilbert had a sparkler, and he's like, so I come down the aisle with all the charisma and charm of a UPS truck, basically, like, to that.
that music thing, he's like, I was, all the odds were stacked against me to get over in the WWF, basically.
Yeah, and it's also very, like, rip-off Undertaker, right?
Well, it is. Yeah, and that was his first big feud. But also, isn't it the same music they would play every time they cut to the Packard sawmill in Twin Peaks?
Yeah, it is very Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Pretty much the same. Like, here comes Nadine. I have an eye patch. There it is.
But they also, they put him over Undertaker. Yeah, so for all the stuff that they did to kind of hold him back, they also set him up pretty well because nobody went over Undertaker back then.
So that was his entrance music. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, because he was a piano prodigy, they would play a little sampling of piano music after a match. And this is what that sounded like. Also the music before every, like, that weird, like, softcore boning on Cinemax.
Yeah.
This is that what would play, like, well, I guess we're going to save that car wash. And then this. And they'd be like, I'm pretty sure I saw a floppy penis somewhere in the thrusting just swinging. Like, they're
that
clearly,
wasn't supposed to be there. It's like, oh, you forgot to crop out that peen.
Why did they hashtag crop out the peen, hashtag nut wrestling.
Yeah. See, to me, that just sounds like, like, this must be a cover of something that's playing during Westworld and one of those.
You don't know that one Wilco song? This is it. The piano's playing it.
It's supposed to mean so much.
Yeah.
Tandy Newton's looking real confused and glitching while
that's
this is on.
Funny.
This is not about the essence of humanity.
A Radiohead's Creep plays on the piano.
Oh, you please make it stop, Julian. Please. I can't take it anymore. Thankfully, the thing that won Vince over, which you may have in your notes, was a series of interviews that he conducted where we learned more about Mick Foley, the person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And in those interviews, he talks about wrestling as Dude Love as a kid, that was what he wanted more than anything. And there is an infamous video of him jumping off the roof of his house onto a stack of mattresses as Dude Love in the, what I think was called The Story of Dude Love, or like The Life of Dude Love.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, if you wish and you dream hard enough, those dreams can come true. And Dude Love can become a wrestler in WWF and a tag champion with Steve Austin. And this was what his music sounded like.
I love this. This is still Jim Johnson, right? Just taking stuff and faking it.
Here it comes.
Staying alive.
Almost. Next time. Probably the next time it's gonna happen. Get ready for it. It's gonna be so great. Here it comes. Nope. One more time. Just we're gonna go through it one more time. Yeah. One more measure. I hope you brought all 20 bars for your audition. Here it comes. Thank the Lord. If it had been one more, I would have run out of here.
Oh, that's good. I don't think I ever heard the music get that far before.
Yeah, no, I know it's like a weird staying alive whatever, but it's still like...
He's the ultimate lady.
It slaps. I'm super into it.
That's a bop.
Like,
outside of wrestling, outside of an intro
it's
music, it kind of works.
A bop, yeah.
How do you like Dude Love, Sonny D?
You know, I was always puzzled by Dude Love because the Mick Foley I love is Cactus and you know, in Mankind. But, you know, I dealt with them because it was a part of his story. It was a part of his, like, you know, the three faces of Foley, the happy times, the good times of Mick Foley.
Do you only love violence?
I think so. I must.
Why would I do this?
I have a weird
Twin Peaks music plays in the background.
Yeah. As I just like,
there's just a lady with a log.
I start looking off camera and pulling my hair out.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the three faces of Foley. We're missing number three.
We are. Yeah.
Of course, for years and years, he wrestled as Cactus Jack in WCW and the Independents, which is, I believe, his dad's name is Jack. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
He's named after that. Name comes from his dad. But finally, it took Triple H, a young Triple H, to awaken the monster, and out came Cactus Jack, complete with his theme song, and here's that.
This is very ZZ Top-esque.
Yeah. I don't know if you got this one right, Johnston. This might have been a swing and a miss.
I don't think
once he comes comes out and starts going bang bang.
This one needs a character, needs a bang bang with it. Like, it doesn't work on its own like the Dude Love one.
Well,
because
you know,
like,
who wrote this? It wasn't Jim Johnson. It was Michael P.S.
John Jimston. Oh, Michael P.S.
So doesn't this sound like a southern rock thing that a guy like that would make?
Yeah, it does sound like P.S. Hayes.
You can almost hear it.
It sounds like.
Cactus Jack.
Cactus Story. Please. This is like WCW Cactus, but this is his entrance into WCW. He came in to job for Sting, basically. That was his, and they didn't think he was going to do any more than that. So he goes to his match with Sting, and he's like, okay, so what do you want to do? Do you want to do, I have this idea and this idea, this idea. And Sting's like, I thought I was just going to beat you in like a quick job. Like, you were just going to do the job, and that was that. And he convinced Sting to let him call the match for the first 5 minutes. And if Sting didn't like what he was doing, he could, you know, end it, call it, done. And then after the first 5 minutes, like, Sting leans in and he's like, you're calling the rest of the match. And like, that's when he knew he was in.
Wow. Sting is such a good dude.
And it's just like, so I brought it in the ring with Sting, and then I need to bring it with promos. And he has this whole story about how you would go and do the affiliate promos where you did like 50 different promos, but you just substitute, you come up with one promo and substitute in
the city,
you know, the city or whatever. And he goes in there, and DDP's the promo producer at the time. And he's like, all right, here we go. In the middle of that promo, DDP leaves behind the camera. I watched them walk out. And he comes back at the end with Dusty Rhodes, and he's like, watch it. He's doing a new promo for each thing. And Dusty came up to him, and he's like, you know, I think we're going to be keeping you around here for a while. And like,
it was promos with pure magic.
Yeah. It was awesome. Anyway. I don't tell it as good as he does.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
we're gonna need
good.
You to do more more research. Someone's got to do research for this fucking podcast. I nominate Brian.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm nominated. Research boy.
Seconded.
Thirded.
The theme song for Mankind that we all know and love now is also the theme song for Mick Foley, the GM. Mm. That starts. He stole Razor's car crash. By the way. Who's like, let's put some car... I mean, I get it. It makes more sense for Foley than it does for Razor Ramon.
Just, right.
He just, does Razor Ramon just randomly leave, like, tacks out on the road and create crashes? Who knows? But
it's the oil from his hair.
That's right. Yeah. He creates a slick vibe of me, but he
goes
jogging.
That's what drugs does.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your hair. This is your hair on drugs. Yeah. Any questions? Yeah, you're the human version of Spy Hunter.
Yeah.
Let's hear the music. Hit the music. Oh, God. Is everybody okay?
Did it drive off? Did someone drive? Was that a hit and run?
Yeah, this was a hit and run.
It was a hit. It was a total hit and run.
A very happy hit and run.
Yeah.
Sounds like everybody's fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably just like hit a telephone pole and then run before the police come.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's one of those, like, new self-driving cars.
Oh, no. Blood on your wheels. Blood on the road. Don't let Razor Ramon run around on your road.
Oh, do you think it was the same car crash? It was Razor and Mick crashing into each other.
Yeah, you're right.
It's the same car crash.
Yeah, oops. Yeah.
Come to think of it, have we ever seen either one of them in the same federation at the same time?
I don't think we have.
Sorry, I'm wrapped with that.
I also don't think we've seen Mankind. I don't think we've seen Mankind and Kevin Nash in the same federation. have we?
I think we have. I think we saw them both in TNA.
So we've never actually seen them both in the same federation.
Yeah, no, nobody saw it, but they both
so
were there.
So I'm just going to go ahead and pretend like Mankind was in all of the Magic Mike movies.
There you go.
Fair enough. When Mick Foley showed up in TNA, they couldn't use any of that music. They had to come up with new music. This is what they came up with.
No.
Okay, stop that.
Thank you. Hey, Danielle, how come people didn't listen to a lot of TNA? Oh, it's cool that they could get Earsat's Kid Rock to make sure that this was...
a lesser kid.
Yeah, this is toddler rock.
Yeah. Is that the Earsat's? I know words.
Bad song, walking on. Gonna rest you now. Danielle, take it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and finish.
I'll tell you what, I've never had a drink in my life. I'm about to grab that out of your hand and pour it into my face.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and finish this vodka now. That hurt.
It's not that bad. It's just nondescript.
You know what that sounds
actually,
like?
Actually, the wrapping is bad.
That sounds like at the toy store, you buy one of those toy guitar, the Paper Jams guitars.
Yeah.
And you just strum it, the cardboard, and that's the song that's like in it already.
Mike, you're a professional rapman. Tell me. How would you rate, can you break down a little bit of that rapping you just heard?
I heard that he was talking about driving because there's a car crash, I think. And then he said, have a nice day, because that's what Mick Foley says. Right. And I think those were all the words in the song.
Yeah. So is there, obviously I don't want to make you do free work. You did have one of the best albums of last year.
Hello.
Y'all should go buy it.
True. Right. Best one.
Not just because I say it, but like a lot of people who are good at music say it too. Pitchfork. if you could just throw like, if you had an idea of a line or two that you would throw in that were not car crash or have a nice day related for Mick Foley.
Well, you could talk about teeth. Or
ears?
Or sweatpants, if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff there. You know? I don't know. What did he do in TNA? Wasn't he like the commissioner or something?
I know. I think he was the world champion while he was there.
No.
Everyone got a chance to be the world champion. Yes. If you'd ever been...
I actually didn't know this. This was... he was a network spokesman for Spike. No lie.
Yeah, if you ever had been any kind of anything on WWE, they just handed you a belt as you walked in.
You get a belt. Yeah. You get a belt.
Hey, you need something to hold your pants? Oh, you like suspenders? We'll just give you two belts. And then each one can hold your suspenders.
Double belts.
Damn it.
Wait, do you have anything? You didn't follow any of his TNA run. That
TNA,
was during your 20-year hiatus.
That was during my hiatus, yeah. I couldn't even get in there for Foley at that point.
Good
for you. And I'm glad I didn't. At this point, hearing that music just makes me glad I blocked that out.
You want to remember Foley.
I keep my respect for him dear, and I can't give that up.
You didn't see him when he came back to put over Edge or put over Randy Orton?
I know a little bit about the Orton feud, a little bit about how he built that. Because I read his second book, I think. He talks about that.
And Foley is good?
Yeah, and good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good book?
Yeah.
Good book.
Now, Julian... You say you have a special surprise one that you didn't even know existed.
I did not know that this existed. This was like just on, because I never have to put one of these together. I do a lot of like Googling and YouTubing. So this was something that came up when I typed in Mick Foley WCW theme.
Uh-oh.
Hold on, wait for it.
He throws caution to the wind. He doesn't care about himself.
What?
You really be a fool to think he cares about someone else.
Do you guys know about this?
What?
What is this?
This isn't real.
No, it is real.
What? Did I write this?
I don't even understand
what
that
Oh no.
Oh god, that's a port entrance. That's the Skinemac entrance.
Yeah.
A better known as Mr. Bang Bang.
Apparently WCW put together a whole list of things, like songs that were inspired by their stars, right? And this was on that, and I couldn't believe it was real.
Wait, will you turn it back up and then fade it back into me? This is going to be the best summer ever. I can't wait to run this summer camp for girls in bikinis. I like fucking. My name's Tad.
What's up, Tad? Or as we call you, Mr. Bang Bang.
Well, you know me. Get ready for fucking.
What are we doing? Have they loaded the babes in yet? What are we doing here?
Come on, Todd.
Look, the babes are on their way.
Guys, like, we're going to have to fuck each other or something.
Oh, that would be, like, super weird. Like, what would it be like if we did that?
I don't even know. What if we just touched tips together and see how that felt?
Would it, like, maybe, like, be the best thing that ever happened to us and change our lives forever, and we would finally be, like, secure in who we are?
That's right.
I've already got mine out.
We're at this lake. What else do you do at a lake except, like, touch tips?
Let's take all our clothes off and jump in.
Come
hold
on.
Each other's penises.
Hey, have you guys read Lady Chatterley's Lover?
Oh my god, it slaps.
Can you read it to me while you hold my penis?
Yup. Produced by Dino De Laurentiis Jr. the third.
And that's the story of twink porn. Or not twink porn. What was this? This would be the reluctantly, like, the straight discovery porn that I see on Pornhub.
Mr. Bang Bang, Volume 6.
If you've got any thoughts on Mick Foley or his music, all right, you have anything to add to that, Brian?
Not really. I think you guys covered it.
Nothing?
You guys covered it. From tip to tip.
From tip to tip, we covered it all. If you've got any thoughts on Mick Foley or his music, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts were Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Loveland. Thank you to Brian Fernandez, Sunny D, for joining us.
Thanks Thank for you for coming. Me.
Where do you want people to go? Is there anywhere you want people to go to check you out?
No, just tell them, listen to JJ Go.
Listen to JJ Go, please. Yeah. For goodness sakes.
No one's doing that.
No one's doing that.
I had a very striking, the time I was on JJ Go, it was a very interesting experience. We'll talk about it another time. I want to do it again, is what I'm saying. I had a very good time. It was positive.
They're very fun boys.
Yeah.
Our producer is the Black Zakul, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle, he's the voice behind our theme music as well. He sits over there so unassuming. Do you not know he's a world-class musician? It's true.
I love that
theme. Like, legit, did you not?
So good.
Did you not know that Brick Body Kids Still Daydream is, like, one of the best albums of last year, and you should, like, still buy it? Or when he does go back on tour, you should, like, go there.
That's right. Buy it twice.
For goodness sakes. I saw those cassettes, the picture you posted on Facebook, and I was like, I need to sly get one of those.
Kind
of
want one.
For sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah. If you love the show, I told you at the top, I'm going to tell you once again, hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends and write those reviews. When we hit the magic number, I'm not even going to tell you what it is, but when we hit it, you're going to get merch. Tights and Fights merch. You could have that beautiful Brian Fernandez logo on a tote bag, on a shirt, on a hat,
baby.
On a patch. You could be yours, but you got to do the work. Get that work in.
Please,
get
guys, I want to see that on your bodies, so please.
Yeah. I want to see it on your bodies.
I want to see that body rock.
Yep.
Thank you so much to all the Max Fun members who make this show possible. Your contributions are what keep the lights on when we are here. And all the new and old Max Fun members contributing, we appreciate it. And everybody who helped promote us during the drive. If you're just new to it, you're going to have to wait a year. But I'm telling you, this is like the longest night before Christmas you've ever had in your life. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.